This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message entitled Attitude Part 2, Pastor Scott continues his series on our attitudes towards important factors in our lives. Our attitudes towards these three factors control our thoughts, our hearts, and affect the way that we serve God and others. This message was delivered on March 5th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
You know, as we continue this series on attitude, you know, I got to say, you know, when you're singing, it's all about you, meaning not me, but Jesus. But at one time in my life, I thought it was all about me. Any of you guys ever been there? I don't know why God put this back to my memory, but a long, long time ago, I was supposed to meet my wife someplace, okay? And you guys can stone me later on, but not that kind of stone, okay? Okay? But I was supposed to meet my wife someplace, but I was with my neighbor, and we were in a bar, and we were drinking. And the time came for me to meet my wife, but the time came to have another one. So we had another one. The time came and went to meet my wife, and then my other neighbor walked in. Then, well, it's time to have another one. And the time had long passed for me to meet my wife. So my neighbor, who just walked in, said, "Hey, how's it? Sit down, we have another one." So he told me, "Hey, how are you going home?" "Oh, the car's outside." I said, "No, it's not." I said, "Yeah, the car's outside. I came with the car." I said, "No, it's not." "Yeah, the car's outside." "No, it's not. Your wife came, she took the car." What? Shoot! My attitude towards my marriage, man, it really stunk. I mean, how many of you guys ever would do that to your wives? Nobody. Good. You guys are all good. I did that to my wife. So that's why I said you guys can stone me after service. Because my attitude was really, really bad. Have you ever asked somebody, "Hey, could you do me a favor?" And they said, "Yeah," but they never quite did it, or they kind of had like, "Oh, well, can you wash the dishes? I'm tired." "Oh, but I'm tired too." Then you would say like, "Oh, never mind, and I'll just do it myself." Sometimes I get like that. But I was reading the Bible in Deuteronomy the other day, and in Deuteronomy 1:28, these guys, can you imagine? They were coming out of Egypt. They were wandering around the desert for 40 years. And now they're ready to go into the promised land. It says, "Where can we go up?" In Deuteronomy 1:28, "Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, 'The people are greater and taller than we.'" Well, for me, everybody is taller than me. That's just a fact. "And the cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there." So they were wandering around for 40 years. God tells them, "Go! Go, come on, get your swords on and go and beat these guys up. Give them licking." But they say, "Oh, these guys are big. Their cities have walls. You know, they're all discouraged." And then God gets mad at them. Then he says, "Okay, fine. Don't go." How many of you are like, "Do this for me"? "Okay." Then they don't do it. "You know what? Fine. Don't do it. I'll do it myself." So they realize that they just made God mad. They sinned. And then they said, "Okay, then we're going to go." Too late, man. God said, "Don't go." "No, no, no. We're going to go." So they go up. And they get lickings. Man, sometimes I think our attitude got to be right on track the first time. Because sometimes when I ask for favors and it doesn't get done, then I just, you know what, that's all right. I will do it myself. I'm that kind of a guy sometimes. I am graceless. Yeah? And if I ever do that to you, please forgive me. If I am graceless when I'm driving behind you, please forgive me. If you are driving in front of me, have grace on me. Yeah, because sometimes my attitude can stink. Yeah, somebody told me this. You can't have a good day with a bad attitude. And you can't have a bad day with a good attitude. How's that? Man, that's something. And we're going to look at some other attitudes about certain things that should be important to us. And number one, your attitude towards non-Christians. What is your attitude like towards non-Christians? When you think about people who are not saved, what comes to mind? Who cares? I'm safe. It's good with me. You know, my wife likes to shop, and I don't. So I have a lot of time sitting down in the mall watching people go back and forth. And, you're wondered if they're safe or not, and that goes to my mind a lot. But what is our attitude towards non-Christians? Maybe family members. Maybe relatives, maybe acquaintances. Is there any compassion? Does your heart feel anything for them? Knowing that they are headed to a place where they're going to be eternally separated from God. A place they said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That does not sound good. Your co-workers maybe, students, your fellow students. What about even your doctor? Because when I go to my dentist, I always, try to share with him. My physical therapist, my shoulder, I can lift up my hand. I'm thankful. And I invite them to come hear the good news. The person in the store, do you feel like later on, I'll just wait for some time to come for me to share? You know, is in our hearts, is there any sense of urgency to go and invite somebody, hey, God is real. God is alive. And God is the only way to eternal life. Do you know Him? Is there any compassion in our hearts? Or are we like a nice, comfortable social group that looks at what are we doing for ourselves? Or are we one that looking, what are we doing to reach others? When you see someone arrested, thrown in jail, or a terrorist, do we have compassion? Bible says to pray for our enemies. In Luke 15, 2-5, both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." You know, that's what Jesus would do for us. He would leave us to go find that one lost soul. That's how much He loves us. Then He continued in verse 8. "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it?" When I read this, I'm like, I wish she lost that coin in my garage, because she would clean that place like it needs it. Man, I think, Lord, send her. Let her lose that coin in my garage. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together saying, rejoice with me, for I found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. So now it's not just a silver coin. If you were back then in that culture, in that time, that coin was like a wedding gift. And in a sense, it would be, how many of you wives ever lost your wedding ring? Nobody. Wow. You guys are good. Your husbands are good. Because your husband doesn't take it and hide it when you take it off your hand and make you worry for a little while. Some of us husbands do that, you know, just to. So it was like that. You know, it was like a wedding ring to you ladies. And when they lost it, man, you know, because if you, ladies, if you lose it, I'm sorry, you're not getting a bigger one. Because you were unfaithful in the litter, how can you be faithful in the mud? Oh, watch out. I'm going to get stoned, guaranteed, by the ladies after church. But do you want to see people saved? That's what the Bible is telling us. Man, if something is lost, we got to go and search for it and find it and get it saved. Amen? Do you feel like it's your responsibility? Because it is our responsibility. And if someone's attitude is like, I don't want to and I don't need to, what if that was the case when someone was to come share the good news with us and they didn't want to, or they found themselves too busy to? I hope that would never, ever be the case. So the number two, what is your attitude towards salvation? What is my attitude toward salvation? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one could boast. We become Christians through God's unmerited favor, not from what we do, ability, not from an act of service on our part. It's because God loves us and we get saved through faith. You don't get saved by cooking for us. You don't get saved by coming to church every week. It's through faith and grace that we are saved. So your attitude towards salvation. Now, do you feel like I can lose it? Because that's a very hot, debatable topic. And there are many opinions about it. There are many scriptures for and against. Now, the best example that I have heard is, how many of you ever lost your car keys? Oh. So when you lose your car keys, it's lost. You cannot find it, right? That's why it's lost. You with me so far? It's lost. You don't... I mean, because if you knew where it was, it wouldn't be lost. Makes sense. So, if you lose your car keys, it's lost because you don't know where it is. Now, if you say, I lost my salvation, does that mean you don't know where it is? But do you know where your salvation lies? Amen. You guys know where it lies, right? It's in Christ, and we're saved by grace through faith. So how can you lose something when you know where it is all the time? But you know where it is, but you can choose to walk away from it and leave it behind and say, I know where it is, but I choose not to go there. I'm walking. Like Jonah, you know Jonah, he went the other way, right? And if you ever feel like walking away from that, then let me know. I'll take you on a boat and I'll attach a big hook to you. So I'll catch a big one. When yeah. But see, so you get it, right? Losing your salvation means that you don't know where it is anymore. But we know where it is. It's in Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And we are saved by grace through faith. So it's hard to lose something when you know where it is. Right? Maybe we should get an app on my iPad, Find My Salvation, instead of Find My iPhone. But yeah, I lost many things, but not my salvation because I know where it is. And I'm confident in what the scripture said, that I am saved by grace through faith. So do you believe that? Do you believe that you are saved by grace through faith alone and not by works? Do you believe that you can lose it or you can walk away from it? What is your attitude? How many of you believe, truly, honestly believe that if fire came down and poof, right here on New Hope, East Hawaii, that you would be in heaven in that instant? I think everybody's hand should go up. Yeah, because we know where our salvation is. Amen? Then our third point, what is your attitude towards spiritual growth? Because, man, I think we need to grow and learn until the day we die. And that's what I feel. 2 Peter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these things, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil doers. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control. I'm still stuck in that one right there. And to your self-control, perseverance. And to your perseverance, godliness. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities and increasing measure, okay, you might want to underline that, increasing measure means we're growing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, spiritual growth, it's a process. It's a process of becoming more and more like Christ. When we place our faith in him, the Holy Spirit begins the process of making us more like him, conforming us into his image. Now, the thing is, spiritual growth is not an automatic thing. Just because you sit here every week doesn't automatically make you gonna grow. It takes effort. It's like going to school again, and man, school was terrible for me. It was. I didn't wanna learn. I think I wanted to stay in the elementary school forever because, you know, I used to love the naps after lunch. How many of you like that? I mean, even now, the naps after lunch. Man, if you can. That's why Jaywin's office, there's a couch in there and an air conditioning. So you can nap after lunch. But I wanted to stay immature. And you know what? You ask my wife. I stayed immature till 37. Yeah. The only thing I was missing was the diaper. But I was an immature child until 37 until I realized that I needed to grow up and take responsibility. Because I'm a man, and I'm the head of my household, and I'm rotten right now, and it was bad. So I had to grow up. I had to go to work. I had to pay the bills. I had to stop being drunk every night or high. I had to stop going fishing every moment that I wanted to because it wasn't about me anymore. It was about God. And so I had to grow up and I had to take responsibility. And it was painful. I had to give up many things. But you know what? As I look back, those things that I gave up, they were good things. They were good things that I gave up, but not good for me. You understand? But it was good that I gave those things up. And there was so much that I had to learn. And over the last 17 years, I've learned a lot. I did come a long way. I have learned a lot, but I tell you what, I have a lot more to learn. Ephesians 4:22. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So when it comes to our attitude, that is one of the few things that we can actually control. Because I cannot control your thoughts right now of where am I going to go for lunch? What's on sale at Macy's today? Right? I cannot control those things. But I can control my attitude towards those things, that I don't care if they're going to thinking about where they're going to shop or what's on the specials at Hawaiian Style Cafe today. But my attitude is, you know what? If you're thinking that, that's okay, because I still love you. Amen? That's one of the few things that we can control. So we can control our attitude towards our government, towards sin, towards God, towards salvation, towards non-Christians, to growing spiritually. We can control our attitude towards money, towards our wives, towards that bad guy who did something to me on the road, to my neighbor who lets his dog loose and chews up my rubbish and spreads it all over my yard for me to go pick up. Yeah, happened to you, huh? That wasn't my dog. But my dog did that to my neighbor. Oh, I felt so terrible. I felt like, man, I am the bad neighbor. I had my chickens one time get out, and they were digging along the side of his house, making a nice fluffy nest in the dust. And I was like, oh, Lord. Here I am trying to witness to my neighbors, and my chickens are loose. They'll make chickens a bow someday. I will bring it to church, and I will share it with you. But we can control our attitude towards all these things. Philippians 2:5, and I'm going to read this to you again. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus' attitude was he came. He came to serve. He came to love. He came to forgive. Even though he was God, he didn't come here all high and mighty saying, bow down at my feet and worship me. He came to wash our feet, to cleanse us. What is our attitude going to be like? Is it going to be like the world? Or is it going to be like Christ? Bad attitude, bad day. Good attitude, what was that? Yeah, you guys got it. You guys are smart. You know, we can adjust our attitudes. It's the one thing we can do. You know, I notice when I go shopping with my wife, when we go to Macy's, I take forever to get out of the car. Oh, here we go. When we go to Home Depot, I am down that aisle and I don't even wait for her to get out. Well, I caught my head like, oh, I gotta change my attitude. When we're out eating dinner, I cannot be like, okay, done. I gotta sweat. I try to eat as slow as I can and talk with her and watch her eat. I even take pictures of her now and say, look how beautiful you are. And I try to let her beat me eating, but no matter how slow I eat, I still win. I'm trying to adjust my attitude. And it takes, for me, it takes a conscious effort to make sure my attitude is good. I mean, I gotta stick one on my windshield when I'm driving. Man, I just need to do that. Or on my dashboard or something, that drive with a good attitude. Your fellow members are in the front of you and in the back of you. That would get me. Maybe put a picture of Jesus in the passenger seat. That would work, yeah? But he's supposed to be in the driver's seat. But that wouldn't work very well because we crack up, right? But hey, we're going to get ready to take communion, so I'll prepare your hearts. Yesterday was a fantastic day. I got up with my wife. We took our time. We went grocery shopping together, and wow, this is so much fun to be able to just leisurely go grocery shopping with your wife. Then we went to see a movie together. It was so great. We went to see the movie The Shack. How many of you went to see that movie? Anybody seen that movie? Steve went. Wasn't it great? How many times did you cry? Once. I think I cried like 3 times. If you guys have the opportunity to go to this movie before it's gone, because you know how the good godly movies, gone. They just take it out of the theater so fast. But if you can go, man, I think this is one of like the best movies I've seen. They talk about the Bible. It's about love. It's about forgiveness. And bring some tissues, though, but it was a fantastic movie. My wife came out of there, it's like, just like she was doing worship. Is it black under my eyes? It was black under my eyes, because, man, it was like, but it's a great movie. Go. I don't normally do this, but, man, it was so good. It really touched me. And just a terrific thing to take. Guys, you have no excuse, but take your wife on a date. Yeah? And if you need a babysitter, go see Jaywin. Because he already get 5. What's another 10? Yeah. All right. So, would you welcome John? He's going to lead us in taking communion. Thank you, John. Let me get you your microphone. Here you go.
Thank you, Pastor Scott, for reminding us about having good attitude. So, I don't know how it is with you guys, but for me, it's still a conscious effort. You know, there's been a lot of talk about immigration. It reminds me of how brave it was for my late dad to take the whole family to move from, some of you know this, to move from Indonesia to Hawaii. I remember when we used to live there, he had a good job, he had a chauffeur, big home, 3 maids. So I thought, you know, he had a good life. He gave up all of that so that his children, us, could have a better life. That made me think of the greatest sacrifice on the cross. that our Heavenly Father made so that all of us could have a better life with Him. Just for a moment, think of the time that the Last Supper, many of you have seen these images of the Last Supper when Jesus was surrounded by His disciples. The room was dimly lit, you know, got some candles and all of that. And He stood up. He said thanks to His Father. And then He said, "This is My body that was broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of Me." Let's take it together. In the same manner, He also said, "This is My blood that was shed for you. Drink in remembrance of Me." Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that You've given us to remember the greatest sacrifice that You have made for us on the cross. Life gets so busy. Help us not to forget, and help us to find ways to do greater things for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, John. Give John a hand.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street, Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.